Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Gimel Avodah Zarah 23. And today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara cites a Braisa, and the Braisa tells us the following: Ha'isha shenechpesha, a woman who was captured and kept by idolaters, bidei ovdei kochavim, she was kept by idolaters in a captive fashion, ayidei mamon. So there's two ways to understand why she might have been captured. If she was captured because they felt that she owed them money, then under those circumstances, if she, after she was released, muteras labala, she would be permitted to return to her husband, because we don't have to be concerned that she willingly committed adultery. As a basic background, if a woman willingly commits adultery, then she's not allowed to be with her husband anymore. However, if she was married to a Kohen, then even if she was forcibly assaulted in a sexual fashion, she's not allowed to be married or marry a Kohen or remain married to a Kohen. So under these circumstances, where she was captured for money, then we say she's allowed to return to her husband, because we assume that if anything happened, since she didn't view her life as being in danger, then if she would not have willingly committed adultery with this person. However, if the idolater captured her ayidei nefashos, because he intended to kill her, then asura labala. Then we say, it says the braisa, that we're not going to allow her to return to her husband, because we have to be concerned for the possibility that she willingly committed adultery with her captors in order to save her life. That is the way Rashi interprets this braisa. Rashi says, ayidei mamon, that refers to somebody who was not married to a Kohen, and we allow her to go back to her husband. But Tosfos is of the opinion that situation where we say Ayidei Mamon refers even to a situation where she was married to a Kohen. And we would say that even though she was married to a Kohen, where if there would be a problem, if she would be assaulted even against her will, she would not be allowed to go back to her husband. However, Tosfos is of the opinion that under these circumstances, since she was only captured for money, then we have to say that under those circumstances, vaday lo nivala, we have to say it's certainly the case that she was not forcibly taken against her will. And so therefore, Tosfos says that this case is referring even to a woman who was married to a Kohen. If she was captured for money, she would be allowed to return to her husband. However, if she was captured for nefashos, then the most common understanding of this is that we say she's not allowed to return to her husband because of the concern that she had committed adultery in order to save her life. So this is a very difficult braisa, because it seems to say that a woman who was captured is not allowed to return to her husband, or a woman who was kept in a circumstance where her life is in danger would not be allowed to return to her husband. It seems to be adding insult to injury, a very, very difficult law to translate into our modern times. But indeed, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Isuri Bia, Perek Yud Ches, Halacha Yud Zayin, and so too the Shulchan Aruch cites this law in Evan Ezer, Simin Zayin, Sifka in Aleph, that Bas Yisrael, a Jewish woman who was captured amongst the nations of the world, if she was 3 years old and up, she is prohibited to marry a Kohen, because we have to be concerned that maybe she was assaulted, and in which case she'd be prohibited to marry a Kohen. So if we follow this approach, the poskim discuss, well, what do we do about what we know happened, the terrible tragedy of the Shoah, that there were so many women who were captured there? Would we say that all those women are prohibited to marry a Kohen? And would we also say that they would not be allowed to be reunited through their husband? Because if we would apply this Talmudic principle in a literal fashion, we would say, indeed, they were captured and their lives were at stake, so why would we allow them to return to their husband? So it can't be, say the poskim. So indeed, the Minchas Yitzchak, one of the greatest poskim of the previous generation, discussed this at length, and the Minchas Yitzchak comes up with several reasons why we must be lenient under these circumstances. So one of his reasons is that if we know that the decree was to kill and destroy the Jewish people, then we know that under those circumstances that there would be no possibility of a woman saying that she would want to appease her captors with through adultery in order to save her life, because we know that they would not have, that her captors would not have tolerated that. And in fact, there were special reasons, that the special decrees that would punish the wicked Nazis if they would do such a thing. So that was one of the reasons why the Minchas Yitzchak said we can say that under these circumstances we don't have to be strict. And on top of that, Minchas Yitzchak said another thing is we could rely upon the woman's friends, that they can also testify. And furthermore, another reason that the Minchas Yitzchak says to be lean is if she herself is one who came in and raised this issue with the court, then we could say that since she herself brought up the issue, we say that she is believed to say that nothing ever happened. And so therefore, even though there's an explicit brisa which seems to say that under these circumstances a woman is not allowed to return to her husband, the Minchas Yitzchak, and not only that, but also the Satmar Rebbe and almost all poskim spoke very strongly that we have to use all possible reasons to be lenient under these circumstances, and to suggest that of course the woman must return to her husband, and she can, if she wants, marry a Kohen. And so this brisa became a dead letter law in the modern period.